Blog Talk Radio.
Keep not found by man, oh, your father.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh.
My Yahweh Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. I be your host, by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Part 12, Exposing the Lies of the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints. But if you tell the truth, it's nothing exposed if you tell the truth. And we're just going to get right off to the broadcast, and we're going to bring that young lion on stage, and he's going to tell us all about where we at on the programs and what's going on. Then we'll give us some Luke 12, and then we'll see where is it going. But I do need to know something. Just something just popped in my brain there, young man. I need to know what happened in 1531. 1531, something happened in 1531 there, young man, about Guadalupe. The 10 northern tribes thought they came to be Roman Catholics about 1531. But we'll put that to the side. Because that just hit my brain, and I know one thing about it. We'll talk about that a little bit later then. We'll leave that alone. But we're going to peep at the Northern Kingdom and find out something he said about the Northern Kingdom. And we got a whole lot of things to get at. But right now, we're just going to bring the young lion in and tell us about the broadcast and where we at and all that good stuff. And then we'll give us some Luke 12, 12. That's what we do. We just find out exactly where we at right now and what's going on the other stations. And so when you meet the young lion with a loud voice, you say, young lion, tribe of young God Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Hey, young lion. Brother Makai Israel, C. Roy. Yahweh bless you, C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you there. There is Israel. Oh, C. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young lion. What those people won't know is what's going on the mother networks, and it'll give the seer an update of what's going on and tell old seer about something. So let's find out about where we all broadcasting from and how to get into the broadcast and get you some dust as Yahweh. So let's talk about it for a minute. Then we'll get some Luke 12, 12. Young line, let's talk about what we got going on out of the six anointed camps of bosses of the two Israelites. Take your time and let me read back and get myself prepared. Come on.
All right. Well, serious, we're at C, Roy. We got a lot going on in the six anointed camps. That car got us on a run. And we run it. What we got going on right now, we have, you know, we live on Pow Talk. You know, we live on Blog Talk. We'll be going live on Facebook. And if you need to catch up any of the stations, I mean, any of the talk shows, you can go catch us up on Facebook as well. You catch the program now at BOTTY. Look us up on Facebook. And you catch any of the broadcasts. We always shooting them up over there, too. But we also been doing some little some live feeds on YouTube. Got the YouTube page up and running now. We actually just dropped our, did some editing and dropped our second show up on there. We're working on number 3 and number 4 right now. It's out. So you can go pull up and look us up on YouTube at BOTTY Tribe YHDH Yada. BOTTY Tribe YHDH Yada. You would catch us with a couple shows put up there right now. We've been getting some feedback up on the shows, had a couple viewers come in, even got a couple people that have subscribed. So if you want to catch up on the show, if you want to see anything that we're talking about on YouTube, man, you can find us there at BOTTY Tribe, TRIBE, YHDH, Yada. So that's what we got going on, Sid's Royal Seed. We moving along, and any other networks, we'll let the national audience know about that as well as we continue to grow inside of all the web pages that are constantly coming up. So we'll go from there, says Red C. Roy, and I say over to you.
Hallelujah. But see, one thing about it, we know you're supposed to start it anywhere from zero. If it's other than that, when you start from zero, you work from there. One thing about it, all we got to do is hang in there, and Yahweh will prevail. So our main thing is do is hang in there. Like you said, we everywhere. We on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, Facebook, and YouTube. And they gonna start easing into all the broadcasters as we unfold. So we got to be prepared to meet them where they at. And we got to be the ones that's going to do this to have a the right mind on how to do what we're doing. But the only way you're going to do this is not how important you are learning. Because that's why we asked about what happened in 1531. Because we're going to talk about the Northern Kingdom a little bit. We'll talk about whatever we get our hands on as time appointed. The Northern Kingdom is 10 tribes. There was a prophecy about them. And then we're going to talk about everything. But right now, we're just going to see which way it's going there, young line. So take a look down at Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what we can get out of tape number 12, exposing the lies out of the Christian, out of the Catholic Church, and also the Latter-day Saints. So we're going to expose some of their lies as things unfold. But if you ain't got no lie up under your sleeves, it's nothing to expose. But how are we going to expose whatever lying is on the table? From the Bible. So if you get exposed from the Bible, then you know it's time to be exposed from the Bible. So look right down at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, young lion, what that say? But we can get something going on the special edition called Thursday evening. Come out.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to serve."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you. So if the righteous spirit will teach you in the same hour, your mind. So when we read the book of Mark, if the righteous spirit is going to teach you in that very same hour, then we read the book of Mark, that young mind. Mark chapter 7, verse 7 through 9, 6 through 9, and 13. 6 through 9 and 13. You're on the top, you're online. Come on.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Mark, chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 6 to 9 and verse number 13. The book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 6 reads, "He answered and said unto them, Well, have Isaiah the seer prophesied of you, hypocrite? And it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their mind is far from me. Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching the commandments of man. Verse 8, for laying aside the law of Yahuwah, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. Verse 9, and he said unto them, for well you reject the law of Yahuwah, that you may keep your own tradition. Verse 13, making the word of Yahuwah of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do you."
Mm-hmm. Well, he said, well, we don't reject the laws of the mighty Four Letter Man's YHWH. If that's what we did, we really rejected the laws. When it got written, we just don't do it because the teaching of men say you ain't got to do the law no more because it's done away with. See, that's what they say. So what we'll do, we'll grab onto that. We'll run with it because he said the law is done away with. He have done it all for us, and we ain't got to do the law no more. That's what he say. But then when you investigate these things, about these laws, when you do the investigation, you want to investigate and see if the laws have been done away with. So you hear it, it's done away with. But we want to investigate and look, so what? A 44, and we'll pick it at verse 1. Let's see if we get our point. Let's run to the book of Sirach. These books were taken away from us, our forefathers and mothers. These books were taken away from us back in the days around 1885. So we don't have this information anymore. But now we come to hold that point.
Mother Eel came to the stage. He bring Mother Eel in. And so Mother Eel said, I'm coming to the stage. I'm the microphone too, sir. Might be a few minutes late, but I'm going to holler at that microphone a little bit. So Mother Eel, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Mother Eel, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be to that city right.
Yahweh bless you, sir. Israel, proceed, Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. I saw y'all part of that mouth. I'm about it. Like we say, might be short in stature, but when it comes down to the word of Yahweh, you are a giant. That's what it's all about. See, the word of Yahweh, see, Paul knew this y'all man, too. Oh, Paul was so shy, he bumped into Peter's knees. But when he opened his mouth, they knew he was around. And that's the game changer. We know Mother Z is at a desk. I'm going to give a commentary a little bit later on in the broadcast on what she have heard or what the Almighty put on her. We don't know the time appointed. So the law was told, Mother, that it's done away with. That's through the modern day teachers. The law is done away with. But, Mother, when we read Romans chapter 7, verse 1, Mother, when we read Romans on the right side of the book, chapter 7, verse 1, can you have to see out on page 12 about this law that's done away with? Let's see what we can read in Romans 7, verse 1 there, Mother. What does that say?
Okay. Romans chapter 7, verse 1 reads, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the truth, know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives.
So the Bible says, as long as you live, as long as you got breath in your body, you hear the law is working for you today. But we've been told by traditional men that we ain't got to keep that law, not knowing that the law they're talking about down the line is in the book of Hebrews 10:1. And let's find out 10:1 down to verse 5 what the law they're talking about. But, you know, average preacher is just not going to read what law is done away with because he's not going to have the knowledge to do so. Let's find out what law has been done away with that we can read that young line in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. 1-5. What
is it? Going over there to the book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 10, verse number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Verse 1 reads, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto purpose. Verse 2.
Stop it there. Stop it there. Yeah, young man. Stop it there. So the law he's talking about is done away with is the killing of animals. But we ain't got to go no further than that. The boys can go down to five, but we might need to try to beat that. The law that's been done away with is the law of sacrificing, going getting a animal and taking to your preacher or something, and he'll do some damage for you or whatever. But that's the law that's been done away with. Let's get a precept on that in Acts chapter 14 there, young man. So the law that's been done away with is killing animals. That is the law that's been done away with.
Mm-hmm.
So when we read the 14th chapter, young man, Paul was visiting northern kingdoms called the Iconians. And he was up in their worship places. And they seen Paul do a lot of great things in their eyesight. And then they even gave Paul a name. And let's see what they did in 14 verse 11. It's Iconia. So they even gave Paul and his right-hand man a name. And what did they call him that we can read in Acts chapter 14, 11, down to verse number 14? Listen real good to what we can read. We precept it from the 10th chapter, verse 1, to give a second witness on the precept. Once you precept your Bible, the story has been told. See, that's the game changer in the Sixth Anointing Council. We have to read a bunch of scriptures. Every scripture has a precept to it. Once you precept your Bible, that's the game changer. And that's what we bring to the scene. In Acts chapter 14, pick up verse 11, young man, and take it straight on down to verse number 14. Listen to this. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 11 down to verse 14. Verse 11 reads, "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lift up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, 'The Yahuwahs are come down to us in the likeness of men.'" Verse 4, verse 12. "And they called Barnabas Jupiter and said, 'Paul, Mercury,' because he was the chief speaker." Verse 13. "Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people." Verse 14. "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out."
Next verse.
Verse 15. Acts 4, chapter 14, verse 15 reads, "And saying, 'Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and teach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living Yahuwah, which made
heaven
and earth."
So he said you should do what again? That turn from what again? That young man, a young man. What to say is just a little bit, because I might cut in on you. It's all about a point that might be brought out. He says, what he said again in half of that verse again. He said, y'all should do what? Read that verse again, then, young line. But it's a point in there. We want to come back and precept that one more time. So a point is in that verse 15, but all I need is half of it. Come on.
All right. The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 15, reads. They're saying, "Sir, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and teaching to you that you should turn from these vanities."
Hold on, right there. So what are they doing that Paul wants them to turn from the vanity? Up to verse number 13 now. And let's find out exactly what this Paul trying to have the northern kingdom. They're scattered to turn from what vanity in the 13th verse. What is it talking about that we can read in the 13th verse? Come on.
All right. The book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 13 reads, "Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, bought oxen and garlands unto the gate, and would have done sacrifice with the people."
So that was the vanity part of it, is sacrifice. To kill an animal when something is done in your favor, that's over with. See, right. So that's the law that's been done away with, is the killing of the animals. Now come back to Hebrews 10:1 again, young man. Because what he's talking about is killing and that's vanity. Or you go and make a confession to your faith or something. You don't do that. That's vanity, man. See, now what you do, you go to a confession. Massacre. Once they massacre everybody, went to the They went to the confession booth and seeking they be forgiven. He said, yeah, what do you do, my son? Well, you know, I put a lot of bullets in the back on St. Valentine of Massacre. So, yeah. He said, how much do I need to if I can have my sins forgiven? Well, see, how much did you get out of that deal? He said, slide mine up under the rugs. That's what you do. Slide mine up under it. And now, son, your sin have been. You see that? Now you go skip to the loo, my darling. See? But you remember one thing. The thing you said to that priest in that box, he got a recording on you. And, and guess what? As long as you walked away, it's crooked. It'll never come up. But don't try to straighten up yourself when it's going to come up. So skip down to verse 10 there, young line. Let's read the verse. What we said, skip down to what? We skip down to 12 and 13.
Yes, sir.
12 and 13, and then we can get away about this alone. What do verse 12 and 13
say? All right. We're going back over to the book of the Israelites. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, verse 13, verse 12 reads, but this man, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh the Father, verse 13, from henceforth expect till his enemies be made his footstool.
So what sin did he remove there, young man? What sin, according to 10:1, what sin did he remove forever? What Paul says, and he made that profound statement saying, he says, sirs, turn away from this vanity. That's vanity. So what sins have been removed? Is the moral law been removed? No, 10:1 will tell you what sins have been removed. And 10:1, what it say online?
In the book of the Israelites, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1 reads, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continue make the comers thereunto perfect.
The law of sacrificing animals is done away. So when they tell you he made a sacrifice for sin forever, he's talking about the law of sacrifice. So that is the law. So when you've been doing your confession books and telling this man to forgive your sin that have been recording you all the time, you have done vanity. That ain't the way that you remove sin. Now we're gonna show you how to remove sin according to the Bible. And if you got ears to hear, that's up to you and your ears. But right now, we're going to bring another mother who came on stage for tonight's episode, tape 12, special edition called Thursday Evening. We're going to bring her in. And let's see, it's Mother D. F. Israel ready to holler in that microphone on tape 12, exposing the lies of the and the Latter-day Saints. Tape 12, this is a series. And the reason why we talking on this subject matter, because we're doing a series to show you that everything that you have learned from the Latter-day Saints, we investigating it and see will it stand up according to the Bible. And remember, we're doing a series on this to find out one thing, have they been teaching you right or they've been lying to you? We're going to find out. And it's up to you to just take notes. And then you bring it back to those that you worship and say, hey, one thing about it. According to the Sixth Anointed Council of Officers of the True Israelites, they said that you've done a whole lot of lying to us. Hey, what you mean we lied to you? Well, you lied and told us that Sunday is the first, it's the day before the worship. When we found the Bible, it's blessed be the seventh day when the sun go down on Friday. Sun go down on Saturday. That's one lie you done told. You done a whole lot of lying. All I want you to know is you're going to correct it. I continue to pay my tithes, free will offer the donation. But is you going to correct some of them lies?
salvation, for I can teach this to my little ones myself. Then you see what they're working with. Mother Israel, tribe of Judah, one of the most out of camp one. Yahweh be with you, Seed Roy.
Why bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Well, Mother, we know that a lot of lines have been done, and we need to find out once we clear that we've been doing a lot of lying and then got a lot of lying in our ears. We have to do some things that Paul said, Mother D.F. Israel. What did Paul say once you find out that you've been taught wrong? Now, Apostle Paul, we're going to touch on Paul and Peter shortly, maybe in this lesson right here. So what did Paul do once he found out that he was in error, Mother? Let's see what he said that we can read.
Mm-hmm.
I know I said 113, but put one of them five markers in 113, Mother. And I need to read a verse in chapter 9.
113 or what?
Hold on, Mother D.F. Israel. Hold on a minute. Let them see if it gets thoughts together. I need to take a look at a verse in Acts chapter 9 about something. I need to take a look at something. Let's see. Let's look at 9, verse number. Pick it around by verse 6. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Because I'm heading on to touch on Peter and Paul a little bit. I think. In the 9th chapter, Mother, or the book of Acts, number 6. Let's see if we can get started in Acts 9, verse 6. What it says, we can read that, Mother. Acts 9, verse 6.
Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Yahweh, what will thou have me to do? And Yahweh said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do.
Ain't that so? You see, that's the game changer right there. See, when you find out you're an arrow, fall out like a rug, say, with your hands up. Yahweh, what do you want me to do? He said, look here, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. So now, so he says, what do thou want me to do? Let's find out, what do he want him to do, Mother? Let's see if we can read. He said, well, he asked the question, what do you want me to do? Now, we know that Yahweh is not a hypocrite, Mother, we know Yahweh is not a hypocrite. What did Yahweh say in Matthew chapter 10, that Mother? Hey, Mother, what did he say in the 10th chapter, about 5 down to 8? We know he's not a hypocrite. So in Matthew chapter 10, Mother, he 5 down to verse 8. Help us get out. Let's see if we tie in. A lot of times, a lot of teaching has been going on there.
You're breaking up,
Sia.
Breaking up real, man.
Yeah.
Well, let me see how I do something about it. Let me ask a question with the WCC. Would you help me out there, WCC? Can you help me out? Because I'm breaking up real bad.
I want to know.
Can you help me out?
So, WCC, World Council of Churches. Can you help those see out?
They can try it now.
Pile down now there, mother.
Okay. Okay, so next.
I sound even worse now?
No. We're sounding better.
I sound better, huh? Okay. All right then, mother.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 to 8. Verse 5 to 12, Yahweh sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the family of Israel. Verse 7. And as you go, keep saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. Ye have received, freely give.
So he gave the 12 apostles, the 12 followers of Yahweh, an order to tell them what not to do. So if he tell them what not to do, he told them, go not to the way of the Gentiles, of any city of the Samaritans. He told the 12, you go follow the lost sheep of the family of Israel. So, it's time for Paul to be on the scene. So you saying he got a different message for Paul? Let's investigate and see. So Mother D of Israel. So now Paul says, after Yahweh and beat him up a little bit, he's saying, what do you want me to do? Okay, good. Now let's get down and find out what do we want him to do in verse number 15 and 16. We're going to find out what Paul's mission is, because it is an erroneous teaching going out that Paul done some things and Paul opened up the way for the other nations to come out. Well, we'll let that sit on the table right now, but let's investigate that and see if it didn't hold up. That's all. See, it's all about one thing. If you're not guilty, when you investigate it, you will come out clean and green. So we're going to see. Skip down to verse 15 and 16, what it said there, Mother.
Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Verse 15, but Yahweh said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
He said, now go to the Gentiles and children of Israel, and he will suffer for my name's sake. Now that's what the big dignitaries there dropped at and said, now you see Paul doing now? Let's get a precept on that, mother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't get a precept on that. Let's run and see if we can get a precept on that, mother. See, this is where you catch them at, but you got to catch them through the pages of the book. And this is what's going to take care of all the business when you know how to catch them through the pages of the book. Let's look at 13:42, mother, of Acts. 13:42. Now, you know his mission is, go to the Gentiles and the lost sheep of Israel. Keep that in your mind. Now, let's see can we walk and see can we catch somebody. Let's find what's going on. And your line have me the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, verse 12, waiting on me. Now, in Acts 13, pick up verse 42, Mom. Let's read a little bit. Let's find out what's going on. Let's see. Yeah, 13:42.
Acts chapter 13, verse 42. And when Judah was gone out of the temple, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of Judah and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the mercy of Yahweh. 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahweh.
Hold that point with that, Mother. So now we find out these Gentiles are want the same thing preached to them the next Sabbath day. The Gentiles. He was to go to the children of Israel and the Gentiles. And we find out that the next Sabbath day, the whole nations, all of them came together. And what they come together on the Sabbath day to do, what, Mother? And on verse 44, what they come together to do?
Acts 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yahweh.
So the next Sabbath day, they came to hear the word of Yahweh. Now, what they do to the Roman Catholic Church come to hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ? What they do to Latter-day Saints come to hear our Lord Jesus Christ? So that should make you suspicious. So when they come to hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to them, that'd be on Sunday. And that's contrary to what they're doing in this Bible. So this Bible, the Gentiles came to hear the word of Yahweh on what day, according to 44, we're supposed to top mother, what day they come to hear the word of Yahweh? 44.
Hallelujah.
The next Sabbath day.
The next Sabbath day. So you should be suspicious about these Gentiles here then, because if he's talking about the whole world, Gentiles, then they've both been hearing the word of Yahweh on the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day in the Bible is sundown Friday, the sundown Saturday. But they do it 9 o'clock in the morning to Sunday. I mean, 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I'm counting time. So maybe they're talking about another Gentile that they talk about here. Maybe it's another Gentile here that we need to investigate. So let's see if we investigate. It must be another Gentile they're talking about. Hold that point there, young man. I want to go to the seventh chapter. I want to go to seventh chapter and pick up verse 1 of Isaiah. I want to walk this down for a minute. Because, see, you got to make sure you clear about, but you only can be clear through the scriptures. So let's find out what Gentile you're talking about and what makes even you a Gentile. Let's find out. Let's go to 7 verse 1 in the book of Acts there. I mean, Isaiah, young lion. We're going to 7 verse 1. Let's talk about it in Isaiah 7:1. Let's see what we're working with. Isaiah 7 verse 1. Take it from there, young lion. Come on.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 1, reads, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Yahya Judah, that risen the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up towards Yadad Judah to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Verse 2. And it was told the family of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his mind was moved, and mind of his people, in the mind of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Verse number 3. Then said the Yahuwah unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahab, you and Shar-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduct of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Verse 4. And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-minded, tales of these smoking fire brands, for the fierce anger of risen with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Verse 5. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, verse 6, let us go up against Yadad Judah in battle, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Verse 7, thus says the Yahuwah, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Verse 8, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is risen, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Verse 9. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
That's it right there. So you see, we find out now that a mother Eve, Judges chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. So we find out that the 10 northern tribes joined in with Syria. And they said, and they counseled me, let us go and jump the southern kingdom, Judah, and let's put our own puppet king there. Let's go whoop them real good. But Yahuwah heard everything, and he told old Isaiah, the seer that was sitting on the dock of the bay, he said, Isaiah, you go tell them two smoking branches with all that venom come out their mouth, it ain't going to work. And he said, for the 10 northern tribes joining in with Syria, I'm going to bust them like a watermelon, and they will be no more people again. Because they joined in together to go against Judah. But what if the prophecy on that was told in Judges 2, 1, 2, and 3, Mother? Hey, Mother Eve, what was the prophecy said about when you join in with another group and walk away from your brother? Let's see what's going on that we can read in Judges 2, Mother. 1, 2, and 3, come on.
The book of Judges, chapter 2. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1. And the angel of Yahuwah came up from Gilgal to Goshen and said, I make you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I say, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altar, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3. Therefore, I also say, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and that Yahuwah shall be a snare unto you.
You see that? So he says, Yahuwah the Father and Yahuwah the Son sent the angel down to talk to Hoshea. He said, look here. You tell them children of Israel,
don't make no league with the inhabitants of the land, and everything they got, throw it down and don't worry with it. He said, but if they don't do it, they can be a snare in your side. So now, of Israel, now, because we trying to pinpoint Paul and Peter for spirit-led. So we got to do it spirit-led. We got to walk the steps to see what's going on. We got to have a foundation of mother, because a mother dear of Israel, in 11 verse 3 of Psalms, it tells us something very important. What it tells us that we can read in Psalms 11 verse 3 there, mother? What can we read out of Psalms 11 verse 3?
Psalms 11. Okay.
So what is 11 verse 3 that we can read, mother?
Okay.
We got to walk things down, because the foundation have to be laid to really get it, you know, the series that we own. This is the series we're doing. We exposing the life of the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints. So how can you expose the lies until you understand what mother getting ready to read in 11 verse 3? What's getting ready to read, mother, in 11 verse 3?
Psalms 11 verse 3. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
See, if you don't have your foundation, and if you sit up in these congregations, young line 23:16, if you sit up in the congregation of Proverbs 23:16, there, young line, see, if you're in a congregation of Proverbs 23:16, can you help those see out there, young line? What do that say that we can read?
Going over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse number 16. Verse 16 reads, yes, my ring shall rejoice when your lips speak right things.
Well, hold on there, young man. Hold on there, young man. Let me make that, what I said, 23:16, make it a, thank you, 21:16. See, Moses said, no, here. They say, sir, listen, you ain't quoting it right, 21:16. See, that was all about. Remember, only in Acts 15:15, it tell you only agree with the seer as is written. If the seer all over the place, I can't go with that. I can't read that seer. You know, I want my salvation. So if that ain't the right verse, it ain't the right verse. See, there it is. So let's see what 21:16 say. Thank you, Mother Z.
Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, the man that runneth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
Take your time, read that a little slower, young man. Read that again. Moses said, you need to read that verse right. Read that verse right.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 16. Verse 16 reads, the man that runneth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
Oh, that one, yes, wander, not running. That wander, yes, right. Now, there you go. That, so if you wander, see, the man that wanders out of the congregation of Yahweh, you will remain in the congregation of the dead. See, you're going to be in the congregation of the dead. And the dead's going to tell you some things, like he's going to tell you that you got to, so many times a year, you got to go make a confession booth to the man with the tape recorder in the room, and the man can't do nothing for you but take your money. See? All the things you do for you, take your money and hold that tape and sit it to the side to use it for you in time to come. You know that. Behind it, you don't see what he's doing in that room. All he's doing is hitting that tape recorder button on you to make sure he, the money that you pass, that tape recorder here too, said, no, Mr. A priest in here, he gave you more money than that. You turn in a little bit more. Because you can't, he can't see you and you can't see, although he can see you, you can't see him. But you, only way you can give him an extra tip, y'all got to say something that typical and pick up on it. We'll leave that alone. So now, when Samaria, which is the 10 northern tribes of Israel, made a league with the Syrians. That was a violation through scripture. So we know, if we think about the foundation, then we know that Mother Dear of Israel, we know what Malachi said with the precept 3 verse 6. We know what it says in 3 verse 6. What it says we can read in 3 verse 6 of Malachi, Mother. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. So we, and Mother E, have me Hebrews chapter 12, make it 13, verse number 8 and 9. Have me 8 and 9 waiting on me. And young lion, have me the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, 13 down to verse 16. Have that waiting on me. So, you see, that's when we know when you're ready to go. When you, when you're able to pop some, pop back some book to old seer, because seer is going to be speaking from the mouth of the Almighty through his word. So you got to be ready to pop some book. So now I'm ready. I'm right now. I got four more scriptures in my brain already. It already pumped on me after I hear these three. Come on.
Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am Yahweh, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Israel are not consumed.
You see, so he don't change. So how would he send Paul to do something that he said he don't change? You making the Almighty the biggest hypocrite ever lived. This the man that made you and me. So how is he the hypocrite going to tell one people one thing, then tell another something else? Now, it don't work like that. So if the one that was first told about this what not to do, how do you think now on the right side of the book that some have changed? And he said he don't change. Now on the right side of the book, their mother, Israel, in the 13th chapter, verse 8 and 9, what can we get out of that, mother? Come on.
Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 and verse 9. Yahweh the Son, the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the mind be established with the covenant, not with meat which have not profit them that have been occupied therein.
Well, we'll go along with that, Mother. We'll go along with that. So you see, time tell you, he said, don't get caught up with me telling you that I change. I don't change. And matter of fact, what do you tell Northern Kingdom out of the book of Ephesians, that young man, in the fourth chapter? Matter of fact, read verse 4 to get warmed up. Read verse 4 to 16, skip down to 13 to 16. Listen to what he's trying to tell Northern Kingdom that's up under the banner of Ephesians at Ephesus, just like you up on the banner of African American and Negro and Christian, right? Same thing going on right here. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, that young line, pick up verse 3. I need to get 3 down to verse 16, 13 through 16. 3 down to 6, 13 through 16, that young lion. Bring it out. Come on.
Going over there to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 3 down to 6, and verse 13 down to 16. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 3 reads, in devouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let me read that again. Verse 3, in devouring. Try hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Endeavorance there, young lion. Endeavorance. Come on.
Endeavorance. Try hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
Excellent.
Verse 4. there is one body. And once you are called in one hope of your calling, verse 5, one Yahuwah, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one Yahuwah, the Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahuwah the Father unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of teaching, by the sleight of men, and kindly craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Yahuwah the Son. Verse 16, from whom the whole... From 16.
I don't got happy. Because hold on. You know, he's listening. He said, "Man, listen, you camps. When the seal drop in there, you have to be cold blooded. Be cold blooded. Don't get excited, cause you know, just deliver something. Because there's something in there. It must be the body. When you folks get moved, you folks get moved by that word of Yahuwah. So when you're hearing something, the man letting them all know. That was Paul telling the Ephesians that was called Israelites, northern eating the land." It's not even one baptism. So if you ain't baptized in the way that we is teaching you, you know what he says behind that. Hey, mother, dear Israel, Galatians 1, yes. 6 through 9, help those see out, mother. And Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9. See, what he's trying to tell you. If you watch what's going on in these settings called religious settings, they got a way to do things that's contrary to the Bible. And we have to expose that to you if you got to hear it here. It's ain't but one baptism. Ain't but one baptism. And if you do any other baptism, let's see what he told another group of northern kingdom in Galatians chapter 1, 6 down to verse 9. Hey, mother dear up Israel, what he tell those of the same group of people that scatter in the brain because they had them broke away and made a covenant with the other nation. And once you make a covenant of the other nation, he's not going to be with you when it's time to throw down this book. And that's why you got them, got different books they read in now. And matter of fact, the Christians got a book where you go to your five dime store and pick up a sermon on the way. They got one already made up. You see, they be reading called a what's that book they call it? Be reading out of Sunday school book. They read the Sunday. They order a big old box of Sunday school books. You see what they do? And what about the Bible? Oh, we got the Sunday school book. That's been made up by man. Mm-hmm. They got Sunday school books. You can if you running late. You ain't got nothing to say. You just stop by your five and dime store and get your Sunday school doctrine and bring the Sunday school book and read what they done already said he done said. You see what happened? See, that ain't going to cut it no more. We gonna force you back into this book, and we're going to find out everything you've been you got to come clean, but you got to have the right spirit to come clean. Hey, Mother E. What you got to do when you find out that you ain't right in 1 Timothy 1:13? Let's see, you got to watch them, Mother. Let's see what it be of 1 Timothy 1:13. What it say, Mother, we can read?
1 Timothy 1:13.
Yes, ma'am. What you say? What do 1:13 say, Mother, that we can read?
1 Timothy. Chapter 1.
Verse 13. What is it that we can read?
First Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and endured, I can say that, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant and unbelief.
You see that? See, you got to see what happens. A lot of these big dignitaries and a lot of these family members, they know they got nothing to say with the Bible open. So they'll try to put the guilt trip on you. Tell you, well, you know, this is the way we was raised up and everything else. They do everything but take the good book and prove that anything is said wrong from the Bible. They don't never do that part. But they can run the mouth and say, well, you know, you're wrong. We might even make you the white sheep of the family. We might do anything to you now behind where you acting. See, the point we make here, if we wrong on any point of this Bible, then we come on six nights a week. Where you want to begin and in this book that the six anointed camps is wrong? What page to turn to that we wrong at? And you know what? It's just like you pulling a razor on them and saying, put your thing out. See? That's the point we're making. It is no lesson that we put on the table that no group, no organization can run us around the backyard and say that's not correct. But they can backbite, and that's what it gets you at, by backbiting. But listen, if he wrong, then put some on him. Now, what do you want me to turn to and read when you putting some on it? Now, watch that. Now, he through talking. He can't go nowhere. Because what we're showing you what the Bible saying by using the precepts. So understand that you always going to have the murmurs, complainers, and backbiters. But they got to come clean sooner or later for your salvation. We've been taught wrong. I don't care how many generations we've been doing this bad teaching. According to what we read, is wrong. And I'm going to make a judgment for me and mine whether you stay on the dock of the bay or not. It's up to you. Because your greatest defeat can come from the closer one to you. Tell you now. It's all going to be the closer one to you, going to be your greatest defeat when it comes down to the word of Yahweh. That's why I tell you to make sure your, help me out there, young lion. Well, I don't know what you're holding, but give me 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me see. Give me 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, make it chapter 1. Let me see. Let me see my people in the book. What I want is to show that something is written in Peter there, young man. In 2 Peter chapter, what I want. What do you know what this thing is wrong?
First Peter chapter 2, verse 21-22.
So what now? I want 9 through 11. Yeah. Can you also see I want 9 through 11 on what he says if you do right. Can you also see out if you do right, you got coming. So where do you want those see to turn to? You hear if you do right, you got certain things coming. Thank you there. Thank you, Mother Z. Chapter 1, chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter. Thank you, Mother. Now, Moses says here, again, this is 2 Peter chapter 1. So I already know who's doing some studying. So Mother Z said, go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and pick that up at verse number 8 and make it sound good and take it down to verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, 8 through 10. Young line, bring it out. Come on.
The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 8 down to verse number 10. Verse 8 reads, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Yahweh the Son. Verse 9, but he that lacketh lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall.
See that? He said, make sure your what your calling you're doing is sure. If you do these things, you got a mirror on you. You'll never fall. See, you got to make sure what you've been taught, the Bible supports it. Huh? Make sure whatever you've been taught all your life, the Bible supports it. If the Bible don't support it, do what Mother D of Israel get ready to read. Then what you do? What do you do? Let's find out what you do. Book of Acts, Mother D of Israel. So what you do when you find out that you is not been told right? Well, the Bible tell you what to do. See, all we can do is point to the scriptures. What to do? When you find out what you've been taught wrong, that you don't go make no confession to that man behind that wall that he can see you and you can't see him recording you, and you find out wrong, then you make adjustment to it. That's all. Now, Peter, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, mother, was on the scene, and he had cornered Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. He cornered them all up, and he started talking to them in 2:36. Let's find out what he say down to verse 39. Hey, mother, D.F. Israel. Let's see the conversation going on that we can read in Acts chapter 2. Verse 36 down to verse 39. Let's hear some of this conversation. What did it say that mother D of Israel?
Acts chapter 2, 36 to 39.
Yes.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the family of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh has made that same Yahweh the Son, whom you have crucified, both Yahweh the Son. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their mind and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh the Son, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the righteous spirit. 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh, our Yahweh, shall call.
Verse 40.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
So the only one you can save is who, mother? So
yes,
the only one you can save from this untoward generation is who?
Yourself.
So you can bump your gums and try to pull wherever you want, but the only one you can save is yourself. That's what keep in your mind. The only one you can be able to save is yourself. But you got to repent. Now, Marie, let's hear a little repentance in 3:19 of Acts. He said, in Acts 3:19, so he said, it's up to you. The only one you can save is yourself. We could go to 14:14, 18:20, but we're not going to Ezekiel the seer. He says, I don't care who said what. The only one you can save is yourself.
And that's why it's very important to understand about your relationship that you're supposed to have, because you can't save but yourself. So you're in one of them, one is a Christian, one is a Muslim relationship. You violating the scriptures anyway that the young lion go read in 1:5-6. You violating the scriptures. You know that? You know you're violating the scriptures? And we're going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. So you're violating the scriptures. That's why you got to know this book. You got to know this book saying you can be violating the scriptures and don't even know it because your preacher ain't going to tell you you're violating the scriptures. But guess what? You know, and the council will tell you that the scriptures don't support what you're doing. Now, how you know that? Well, we can read it and can read it to you. So what you're reading now, Mother E in 3:19. This is what we do in 3:19. What did it say? Of Acts.
Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sin be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh.
You see that? Tell you how to repent. Before the time of the refreshing come of Yahweh. So he said, you better get your story prepared. And remember, Mother, in 7:6 of St. John, you can't be thumbing around with this repentance neither. St. John 7:6, what it say, Mother? You can't be thumbing around with this repentance. You think you can keep on delaying your repentance. And look what he says in St. John 7:6, on delaying your repentance.
The book of St. John, chapter 7. Verse 6.
Yes, ma'am.
Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, St. John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yours. My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
I might kill you now. So if you ain't got this right, you still following some man in a confession book, and this man supposed to be the vicar of the Most High, the replacement. How you going to replace the Most High? He even told you his title on the right-hand side of the Almighty, but we didn't get up. How is you going to be a replacement for him? That same thing that the Latter-day Saints saying about Joseph Smith. He's a replacement. You got too much stuff on the table. That's why this series is, you got too much on, when you look at this Bible, you don't line up with none. But it's up to you. You don't line up with none. How you going to replace Yahweh the Son? How? How you going to place he on the right hand of the Father? Huh? How you going to replace him? How is you the vicar of replacement? That just don't even add up. You the replacement? Now you got Russell over there, close to 100 years old, saying, if y'all want to hear anything, y'all hear it from me, and I tell it to you. I give it to my 12 apostles. Now, that was a Latter-day Saint saying. The head man over there, can't think of his name right now, Russell, he's close to 100 years old. He said, no, he done bumped the Pope off. He's a replacement. You got to get to me, and then get to my 12, and we're going to point you to the book called The Mormons Book. What Joseph Smith received from the Father and the Son. That's it. And what they look like, well, they look dead like him. Yeah? See? And don't nothing you have lines up with the Bible. And that's why we got to deal with Peter and Paul. And we're dealing with, first of all, we're dealing with, see, when you break away from the Almighty, what the Northern Kingdom did, young lion, we don't care what we got on. It's put all that to the side. Let's go find out when you break away from the teaching of YHWH in Luke chapter 4, verse 12, what do you become? And we'll find out who is you talking about. Luke chapter 4, verse 12. Let's find out what you become when you break away from Yahweh. Although you might be one of the members of the 12 tribes of Israel. But suppose you break away, what title do the Bible say you are if you break away from the teaching of YHWH? Luke 4:12, let's read a little bit, young lion, come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 4, verse number 12, picking up at verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "And Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, It is said, you shall not tempt the Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Verse 14. And Yahweh the Son returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their temple, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Verse 17.
The one you call our Lord Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath day. Now, suppose you do not keep the Sabbath day, and suppose you break away from the teaching of YHWH. Now, back up to Matthew chapter 4, there, young man. And let's find out something. If you back away from the Almighty, and let's find out what's going on. We're going to Matthew chapter 4. Let's see what the Bible say you are if you back away from the Almighty four-letter man. And 4 verse 12. Let's read down to verse number 16. 12 down to verse 16. Now, but 16 is very important. It's up to you if you want some 16. It's up to you. But we want to get 4, 12 down to verse 15 first. Then we'll get some 16 after we expound on exactly what happens to you when you don't keep the Sabbath day, and if you don't keep the proper name, everything is contrary to the Bible. You go into a confession booth with a man taping you at on the other side, because they taping you for one reason, to make sure when they pass that box of money, you tell them how much money you better give them so they can record it, make sure that old preacher over there ain't putting a couple of dollars in his pocket. Jeez, that was really going on. But in Matthew chapter 4, young man, let's find what we can read in verse number 12. Let's read down to verse 15. What does it say?
Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12, down to verse 15. Verse 12. Now when Yahweh the Son had heard that John was cast into prison, to Galilee, verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the seer. Same. Verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
Wait a minute. What land he said that he went into in verse number 13? Now listen good. Listen where he went to. What land did he go to again? And a mother dear of Israel have me up. The book of Psalms. What I want in Psalms. I'm all over the place right now. In the book of Psalms, mother, after we read this verse, I want to know why he went to the land of, why he went to the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, Zebulun and Naphtali. I don't know, once we read that again, I don't know what is the reason why he said, and that's where he went to. Read that verse again there, young lion.
All right. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse number 13 reads, and leaving that, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the seer, saying, 15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
Yeah. So, but what I want to know, why did he call Zebulun and Naphtali? He was going to that land. Why so? What's the precept to that? Who will help me out? Hey, mother, who will help me out in the 49th chapter? What is the precept to that? That we can read. What's the precept to that? Why so? Why did he call them lands that? And can anybody help us see out? And for them, thank you, Mother Z. Look at Mother Z. Mother Z just popping all kind of back at those seers. 49:11. Where did it say that? 49:11. Remember, this, we come on the airways to give you Bible study. We try to pray you from the mindset that you're having. You've been taught wrong. Reason why the land was called Zebulun and Naphtali, we need to find out right now in 49:11.
Psalms 49:11.
Yeah. Mother, be up Israel. What do you say we can read?
Psalms 49:11. Their inward thought is that their families shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own name.
You see that? That's the reason why the land was called Zebulun and Naphtali. Because when you get to a land, you put your name on that land, and what name will that be? And what name will that be when you get there? We can read by going to Judges there, Mother E. Hey, Mother E, you want the book of Judges to find out what name you're talking about that will be there. See, we got to be cleaner up on some things. So we go to the book of Judges. Why did they call the land that they were deep to after their name? Why so? We go and get a precept and find out what happened. So that's when you know when somebody's doing right, you're doing Bible, because whatever land you're supposed to be on, it's supposed to be after your name and after what name that we can read, Mother. In the book of Judges, chapter 18, take verse 29. What so when you go to a land, and that's how they find out who did what, if anything happened in the Bible, oh, they won't know what land did it happen on, and they know exactly who to go confront. Then things jump off what happened to Benjamin. Some things happened in the land of Benjamin, and then once we find out about it, what happened in Benjamin, the other tribes came to say, hey, you got a man over here in Benjamin done some things that's not right according to the Bible. Give him up to us. We got to judge him according to the law. So, Mother E, let's find out why they had things so plain that we can read in Judges chapter 18:29. Why so? 18:29. Listen good.
Judges chapter 18, verse 29. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of their father who was born unto Isaac. Israel. Habib, the name of the city was Lassa at the first.
So, Mother, when you a member of the 12 tribes of Israel, I don't care where you go, even on your mailbox, what do you supposed to do when you go any place, even on your mailbox, you put what name on it and above your door and on your mailbox? And what name do you put on that, Mother? What name would you put on that, Mother?
What name do I put on my mailbox?
Yeah.
Well, I put the name Ethel Smith.
No, I didn't mean by that. Come on, young line. What I'm talking about, young line?
Israel.
No.
The name of your father.
When we talking about in biblical days, what you put there, you put the name of your father wherever you at. That's how they did it in the Bible. So when he went to Naphtali, when he went to Zebulun and Naphtali, that was the land of their fathers. So wherever you move to, you put your father's name to wherever. That's what they did when Yahweh the son went to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. He went to the lands of their forefathers, because wherever you migrate to and whatever land you're on, you put the name of your father in that land. Because if some jump off, they'll ask, well, what land was that happened in? Because that happened in Benjamin. Oh, okay, we'll go see Benjamin and find out that Benjamin tell us what's going on, because we got a big complaint over there in Benjamin. So everybody has their land. So now, but Naphtali and Zebulun was called what in verse 15 there, young man? What was Naphtali? And matter of fact, go to Exodus chapter 1 and read me, who is Naphtali? I need to read down to get these names. Who is these Naphtali and Zebulun? Who is they fathers that we can read? We go on to Exodus chapter 1. Let's read down to get their names.
All right, we're going to Exodus chapter 1, picking up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Israel. Verse 2, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Verse 3, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Verse 4,
Zebulun.
Dan. Dan and
Zebulun.
Naphtali.
So Zebulun and Naphtali, who is their father according to verse 1?
Israel.
Now what did he call Zebulun Israel and Naphtali Israel in the verses called Matthew 4:15? What were they called that we can read?
They were called Gentiles.
Read it. Read that, young man. Read that. Read what they was called.
Right. Going back over to the book of Matthew. Pick it up at chapter 4, verse number 15. Verse 15 reads, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles.
So when you see the word Gentile, although the word only means mother. See, we know exactly what the word means, but we're very white to and play your game. See, we know what the word Gentile really means according to the Bible by reading that same story of it. By going to the book of Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. See, we really know what the word means according to the Bible. We watch the best on Buffy Gum. This is what the word is supposed to have been there, and supposed to be no Gentile there, period. But since the word Gentile is there, we can play your game any way you want to play with the Bible open. But the biblical definition of the word Gentile means what, mother? Numbers 9:1, let's read a little bit. Same storyline we read in Matthew 4, 12 down to verse 15. Let's see exactly what the word Gentile means when you do the precept. Let's go to the 9th chapter of Numbers, mother. And pick up verse 1. Mother, D, F, Israel, 9:1, bring it.
Numbers chapter 9, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2.
Well, hold on, mother. I think I'm all over the place right now. Isaiah 9:1. Thank you again there, young lion. See, that's what I like. See, old seal sometimes it's all over the place. So old mother Z said, let me tell you something, Sarah. You gonna get all over the place. But look here. That remember this same rod I got that I'm gonna put on the young lion's back, it can go on your back too. You do it right. That's right. So Isaiah 9:1. So it's all about doing this thing right. We got to do this thing right. But what's right? The Bible way right. 9:1. Isaiah. Thank you, young lion. What it say?
Isaiah 9:1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her visitation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nation.
In Galilee of who?
Of the nation.
Then that was supposed to be there. So, but we just going to play what these worldly people tell you. The word Gentile is not a nationality. They pulled that verse from 9:1. He just came back to rehearse the righteous act. When you properly see the word Gentile, it means a nation that you're talking about. That's what the word really means. It don't mean, but since they want to play with the word Gentile, we can play along with you and bust you in the middle of the street. The one he called Gentiles was Naphtali and Zebulun. They was called Gentiles. They had a book away from the Almighty. But that was the nation called the Northern Kingdom that a book away from YHWH, which you can read the prophecy of it in 1 Kings chapter 11 and chapter 12. But we're not dealing with that right now. So that's we're dealing with Paul. So when Paul was sent to the Gentiles, he was sent to the Gentiles that had a book away from the Almighty's words. And then he had to go to them wherever they was at. So watch him go to them by Mother D of Israel in 1:5-7. Then young lion, pick it right back up in the 10th chapter. And we'll see exactly. See, that's why you got to tie this thing in. You got to know what's going on. So the Gentiles that we're talking about, hey, Mother E, what do the Gentiles got to see in verse number 16 of Matthew chapter 4, verse 16? What got to happen for the Gentiles, which is the Israelites of Northern Kingdom that had broke away from the covenant of the Almighty? What got to happen for them to remove that stigma by being called Gentiles by reading Matthew chapter 4 and pick with verse 16? Hey, Mother E, 4:16, what it say?
The book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sit in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
Well, so, Mother, the people we're talking about is Northern Kingdom called Zebulun, Naphtali, and all the Northern Kingdom. When you do not have the word of Yahuwah, you sitting in the shadow of death. That's what he's saying. You sitting in the shadow of death, and Mother, what that make you in Baruch chapter 3, verse 4. Let's see who is sitting in the shadow of death. See, when you don't have YHWH over your head, you got the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints and the Christians that all came out from under the Catholic Church. But when you got that mindset, you're in the shadow of death. Now what verse I just said, Mother? Yeah, Baruch chapter 3, verse 4. Let those see out. Let's see who's been in the shadow of death. And we're going to read this by Baruch. See, Baruch has been cleaned up in Jeremiah 45. He had to clean up Baruch. He said, Baruch, I should kill you, Baruch, because your mind ain't right. But I'm going to let you live and tell a story in Jeremiah 45, 1, 2, and 3. But when you're not having the YHWH man over your head, you sit in the shadow of death. You can be a bloodline Israelite. And that's why they call Gentiles, because they're in a shadow of death. Now, what Mother Korea in Baruch chapter 3, verse 4? What did it say, Mother? Marie?
Baruch chapter 3, verse 4 reads, Yahweh Almighty, thou Yahweh of Israel, hear now the prayers of the dead Israelites and of their children.
Hey, Mother. Hey, Marie. When you don't have no Yahweh above your head, you got Catholics and everything over your head, you what kind of Israelite are you, according to Baruch says in 3 verse 4? What kind of Israelite are you?
Dead Israelite.
Dead. What?
Dead Israelite.
The dead Israelite. You see that? So you're dead Israelite. So that's a Gentile you're talking to. A dead Gentile Israelite. See, if you ain't got the four letter man over your head, you're a dead Israelite. In the mind, you're a dead Israelite in the mind. You're doing everything contrary to the Bible. You're a dead Israelite in the mind, although you Israelite. So that makes you a Gentile. So now you need the light to shine on you to get you out from under that. And when the light shine on you, you got to do what? In 428, Mother. Hey, Mother E. What you got to do in 428? Once the light gets shined on you, what you got to do in 428, Mother?
Okay. Baruch chapter 3.
No, chapter 4. 428. What you got to do, Mother, in 428?
Baruch chapter 4, verse 28. Baruch chapter 4, verse 28. Excuse me. Whereas it is your mind to go astray from Yahweh, so be in return, seek him 10 times more.
You see what you got to do? That means we got 6 locations. That means all 6 locations starts at 7:30. You're going to be the first one in and the last one to leave. And you're going to be ready to suck up all the information you can get your hand on to help yourself and whoever you come in contact with. So remember, Friday night class started at 7:30. All 6 locations, call for details, 224-600-5579. Wherever you're closer to, within the 6 locations, you're going to be the first one in there. And you got to seek him how many times there, a mother? How many times you got to seek him, Mother?
10 times more.
And Mother E. I mean, Mother D of Israel in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, how you supposed to prepare yourself. 5:1. Let's read a little bit. Let's read a bit in 5, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. And this is okay. Supposed to understand. 5:1. Let's read a little bit, Mother.
All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 reads, keep your foot when you go to the temple of Yahweh, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of food, for they consider not that they do evil.
Keep reading.
Verse 2, be not rash with your mouth, and let not thine mind be haste to utter anything before Yahweh, for Yahweh is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let your words be few,
No, yeah. So that's the order. That's one of the orders. That's the order coming in. He said, otherwise, they have big ears and little mouth. Come with pencil, pad, and Bible. Be ready to hear something, not to tell something. Be ready to hear something. Is that what we're reading?
That's what we're reading.
And verse 6 says what?
Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should Yahweh be angry at your voice and destroy the works of thine hand?
You see that? So all these is the rules of the regulation and the six anointed counts. You know, the one thing about it, it's not a soap opera. We got to get ourselves in order to help ourselves, to help others. Land, school, banquet hall. That's our focus. That's the six anointed count focus. We got to help our loved ones understand one thing. We've been taught wrong. It's time to correct it. You know, I want to get on the 1531, what happened with Guadalupe, and that was the Northern Kingdom on right now. 90% of the Northern Kingdom, they all, Guadalupe is another name they call Mary. Mary. They said Guadalupe appeared to them and told them to get in the Catholic Church. That's why you catch 90% of the Northern Kingdom. You catch 90% of the Northern Kingdom off into the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, and everything else. All of them, they lost their identity, and they got to be found because Yahweh removed them from being a people. And that's why they got all the pagan names on them by calling Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and everything else. They got all these names they got after they were speaking Semitic Hebrew when, what his name, called it, taking them back, Christopher Columbus taking them back to Spain and taught them Spanish language. That's their language that you call it. We are Spanish people. No. You were speaking Semitic called Hebrew. They brought interpreters over here and put their pistol on you and got you up in the ship and took you back to Spain and Portugal. That's where you learned that language from. Then they shipped you from there back to the west coast of land Shem called Africa, then ship you back to where you are today. That's how you got the language. See, we know your story. So that ain't you. You just speaking it like we speaking the English language and speaking it better than them in our way. You speaking their language better than they are. That's all you're doing. But see, we know every trap when it comes on the book. We trying to help you come out of this by understanding what's written, Mother Dear of Israel. Let's go back and peek at that Romans chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Mother Dear of Israel, we're getting warmed up in 1, 5 through 7. And Young Lion had me 10, 1, 2, and 3 waiting on me. Same book of Romans. Now watch this. See, this is how you find out. See, when Paul was given a decree to go to the Gentiles he was talking to go to was Gentiles where, Mother? Book of Romans, chapter 1, 5 through 7. Now here go Paul going to the Gentiles. Now watch this. 1, 5 through 7. Bring it.
Romans chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, verse 6, among whom are you also the called of Yahweh the Son. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be the saints, mercy to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and Yahweh the Son.
So give me Amos 9:9, mother, break down that all nation. He said, now I'm going to Rome and I'm looking for all nations that's in Rome. And that's good. But he said the one that's called to be saints. See that was a game changer right there, the call to be saints. Not the latter day saints, the saints of the Bible. And Mother E had me the saints of the Bible by looking at 148:14, mother, of the book of Psalms, had that waiting on me after we take care of a little business. So have me 148:14, and we'll get the biblical definition of this word called saint. So when you see the word saints, although you got it across the title called the Latter-day Saints, but that's not biblically. We're going to find out who the saints is that we can read out of the Bible shortly. So what we're getting ready to read, so we Mother D of Israel, you'll give me about something about all nations, but we got a precept that back to Amos 9:9 and find out what is you talking about by all nations. Come on.
Amos 9:9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the family of Israel among all nations, like as corn is.
So the one that's going to be sifted among all nations is going to be who, mother?
The family of Israel.
That's the family of all nations. So Paul was going for all the nations of Israel that's scattered in Rome. See, that's where we come in at. The all nation with the precept is talking about the children of Israel. That was at Rome. Not every nation, not another nation, because he made it plain with the other nation exactly what he gonna say, but we gonna take care of that. But the all nation, it means all nations of Israel. That's gonna be scattered among all nations. Now, mother, Israel, I need a precept on that. I need a precept on that in the book of Nehemiah. I want to run the book of Nehemiah there, mother, and get a precept. See, remember one thing. What you want to do is lose all the Bust a Gun contests and go in the Bible and say, well, listen, my brother, you've been taught wrong. All nations don't mean all. It means all nations that's Israel that is scattered, because when Peter and James was writing, he was writing to all the scattered Israelite nations that were scattered. That's all it means. It don't mean the other nations, because it wasn't given to the other nations. So now I'm going to read, mother, in Nehemiah chapter 1, can you help the old seer out in verse number 1:8.
Nehemiah 1:8. Remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress sin, I will scatter you abroad among the nations.
So now who he talking about that we can read in verse 6? So who is he talking about that we can read that if you sin against me, they will find you in all nations and reading you there because you sin against me. Now back up to verse 6 and let's get a name on who you talking about. If you sin against me, you will find yourself in all nations. Come on.
Nehemiah 1:6. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both I and my father's family have sinned.
Ain't that so? Hey, mother, dear of Israel, that's nice. See, that's nice. That's how you bust them in the middle of the street. You see what the man just said? So who is that going to be among all nations? Who's that to be around among all nations? So Paul belongs to all nations of who?
Israel, the children of Israel.
The children of Israel. So Paul was born in Rome looking for all the children of Israel that's up on the, wherever they at, that's where Paul was going to check them out. And that's why he was talking about the saints that he gone to Israel to take a look at. But Mother E gonna tell you exactly who the saints is in 148 verse 14. Ain't that right there, Mother? Hey, Mother E, you gonna tell this national audience about who the saints is according to 148 verse 14? A song. Who is the saints is, Mother, that we can read?
The book of Psalms, chapter 148, verse 14. He also exalted the horns of his people, the praises of all his friends, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye, Yahweh.
He said, you better praise Yahweh. So, Father, according to 148:14, who are the saints of the Bible, Mother?
The children of Israel.
That's who the saints is. Now, look at Latter-day Saints. Seer, can you give me a second witness? Yeah, all right. Back up to 50 chapter, Mother. Back up to Psalm 50, pick up a verse 5 down to verse 7. Let's get a Latter-day Saints, descendants of Esau, a second witness. What all we do is back up to the 50th chapter of Psalm and pick up a verse 5 through 7. The saints he's talking about is what, Mother? What things he talking about that we can read?
Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 50, verses 5 through 7. Psalms, chapter 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For Yahweh judges himself, Salah, verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will see. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am Yahweh, even your Yahweh.
So, Mother. Hey, Mother E, who is the saints of the Bible? According to 50, verse 5 through 7.
The children of Israel. That's the saints.
But if you don't do what, then you're not a saint of the children of Israel. You talk about the ones that have done what, according to verse 5? Tribes of Israel. But because you Israel, that don't make you a saint unless you do 50 verse 5. You got to be a 50 verse 5 saint. What did it say there, Mother? 50
the
verse 5.
The ones that made the covenant.
Excellent. The ones that make, that keep the covenant, them is the saints of Israel. This Bible that you read is for Israel, about Israel, and to Israel. The saints of the Bible, it is the children of Israel, a people that near unto him. So you see the ones that the title call themselves the saints, they not the saints. The Catholic Church is descendants of Esau. The Latter-day Saints, they are descendants of Esau. He ever made no covenant with them. He ever made no covenant with them. Matter of fact, he said something to the seer, Malachi, about them. And 4 verse 1 there, about Malachi, he said something to the seer about the sinners of Esau. The head of them is the sinners of Esau. The head of the Latter-day Saints is the children of Israel. he got a prophecy on them that we can read. And Nebuchadnezzar, he called the seer and asked him a question. He said, hey, are you the man that I already know? He said, yeah. Well, did you put down what I tell you to put down? Nebuchadnezzar 1:1 down to verse 4. Young lion, bring it. Young lion, bring it. 4:1-4, Malachi. How long those seers got to wait for you?
The book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse number 4. Verse 1 reads, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Yahweh of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Verse 3, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Yahweh of hosts. Verse 4, remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the laws in judgment.
Now remember what he said now. He said, I'm going to give you the power to tread down the wicked. Now we're going to bag up. He's still talking to Malachi the seer. Now give me 1:1 down to verse 4. So now remember, now hold the brains nice and tight. So he's saying that one day the children of Israel gonna put the boot to the sinners of the wicked. He said one day it's going to happen. That's what he said. So now we want to find out by name what wicked, if the number one wicked you're talking about, that this going to happen to. And all you do is precept your Bible back to the first chapter. And we're going to look at the story that was told to the same man before we read 4:1-4. Now we're going to read 1:1 down to verse 4, and let's see if we get the picture. What is saying 1:1 down to verse 4? Come on.
Going over to the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1 down to verse number 4. The book of Malachi, chapter 1, verse 1 reads, the burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi the seer. Verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Yahweh. Yet you say, wherein has you loved us? Was not Esau Israel's brother, saith the Yahweh? Yet I love Israel. Verse 3. I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Verse 4. Whereas Esau and his five sons said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Yahweh hath indignation forever.
How long are you learning?
Forever.
Now, so how do you get forever have stop now? See, forever have them stop now. So how is these big dignitaries got more words, and he said to them here he got indignation with Esau and his five sons for how long?
Forever. Now, nobody
won't talk back to see it now. See, that word forever means, that means when Paul left, how could Paul, that was raised from the womb, called to Galatians 1:15-16, to tell the message about the forever message? So how Paul is sent to save them, and it's already been a calling on them already, because you're not reading Paul right. See, now we better read Paul right, starting with Mother Eve in 9, verse 7 of Romans. If you're going to read Paul right, read down to 9, verse 7 to 13. Then Mother pick it back up at about 16 to 22. Now we can read. See, you got to precept your Bible. See, you think this based upon elections or why these things going on today. But you always have the almighty hand, like his hand is sharp. But he done told you about his hand already, young lion. What did he say about his hand in the 11th chapter of Numbers? He got to tell you about his hand, you know, but we're not paying his word, no, never mind. But he talks about his hand there, young lion. He makes a profound statement about his hand, and let's see what he says to Moses about his hand. In verse number 11, verse 22. Make it 23. What did he say about his hand there, young lion? Numbers 11, 23. What did he say about his hand?
The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23. Verse 23 reads, and the Yahuwah said unto Moses, if the Yahuwah's hands wax short, you shall see now whether my words shall come to pass unto you or not.
Hate that stuff. You see the man saying, he said, I ain't got no alligator on. He said, my arm ain't got no alligator on. You going to see when my words come to pass. If I told you this is how it's going to be, that's the end of it. So that teaching about Paul doing all this going, we have time to get on Peter. We might take that Peter maybe later. But understand something. Paul could not break what's written. And mother getting ready to start it off in Romans. Now, I tell you what, mother. Give me one down to verse 5. And I'll let mother, D.F. Israel, pick it up around about 7 to 13. Give me one verse 5. Now, here go Paul. Now, you hear what Malachi said. This is a burden to Malachi to tell Israel that you're going to be a people that's going to come and take your identity. But he said, I got a problem with this. Indignation with, he said, the peoples of Esau. Not just Esau himself. The peoples. That means the descendants of Esau. You know who Esau is today? The people translated today? That's the white man and the white woman today. He got a problem with that nation. Sure, there's going to be some individuals that are going to be all right, but he's talking about as a nation. He got a problem with the nation, especially the one that's running back. Sure, you got a good friend called Becky and Sally. That's good. We ain't talking about the one that's going to be part of the kingdom to build your kingdom. We ain't talking about them. We're talking about the ones that make decisions in high places. Them the ones he's talking about, the one that always throwing something slick in the game. You know, that's the one. He said, them the ones he got an indignation with forever. Now here's Paul. Paul pulling his verse, mother. In 9:1 down to verse 5. Listen to what Paul say in the 9th chapter 1 through 5. And mother, pick it up at verse 7 and 13. Mother, be up Israel, 7 and 13. Come on.
What book are you going to?
Romans chapter 9, 1 through 5. Hey, mother, eat. Romans chapter 9, 1 through 5.
Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. And I said the truth in Yahweh the Son. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the righteous spirit. Verse 2. That I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my mind. Verse 3. For I could wish that myself were a curse from Yahweh the Son for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the honor and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Yahweh and the promise? Verse 5. Who are the father and of whom concerning the flood? Yahweh the Son came unto him, unto Yahweh the Son come, who is over all. Yahweh bless forever. Hallelujah.
Wait a minute. What was Paul saying that in verse 3, for I could wish that myself was a curse from Yahweh the Son, from my brothers and my kinsmen according to the flesh. So Paul is very heavy and a mother be of Israel. Hold that point for a minute. Can you go back to that 1 verse 7 again? Where is Paul in?
So where?
1 verse 7. Hey, mother, be of Israel. Where is he at in 1 verse 7? Where's all this going on at in Romans 1 verse 7?
Romans chapter 1 verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be the saints, mercy to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and Yahweh the Son.
So when we read verse 9, where Paul at, mother? When we read verse 9, where is Paul at? Anybody can help me, young line or Mother D of Israel, Mother E, Mother Z, anybody help me out. Where is Paul at?
In Rome.
He's in Rome.
In Rome.
So who is Paul talking to according to in Rome? Who he talking to?
The children of Israel, the Israelites.
That's what he's doing in Rome. He's talking to the children of Israel, the Israelites. But he had to call them all type of things, saints and whatever, you know, because you know we've been in captivity so long. You got to speak over their head, or under their head, but in your head. But you knew what the scriptures were saying. So Paul said, I'm in Rome. I got heaviness for y'all. And what he said again, mother, in verse 4, 9, verse 4, he in Rome. And who was he talking to in Rome, in Romans 9, verse 4? Who was he talking to?
Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Who are Israelites?
And what did that? And he was reminding them, mother, what they got if they come back to him, telling them in Rome, the Israelites, what they got. Read it.
In Romans chapter 9, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the greatness and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of Yahweh and the promise?
He was telling y'all got everything. Y'all, you got the whole pie, the whole cake. Why y'all keep on getting a slice of something? You got all of it. He was reminding them that y'all got the whole pie, the whole cake. Why are you living off of a corner of something and you got all? That was Paul telling the Israelites in Rome. And you don't mind, give me 10, 1, not give me my 10, 1, 2, and 3, before mother take it back in verse 7. So give me 10, 1, 2, and 3. See, you got to keep on pumping your Bible at the precept. When Paul was not going to other nations, the nation he was going to is the scattered Gentile mindset of the children of Israel. Their mind wasn't right. Now look what he's saying, 10. Paul is bleeding out to him in 10, 1, 2, and 3. What did it say, young man? 10, 1, 2, 3, what did it say?
The book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, brother, my mind's desires are in prayer to Yahweh, for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of Yahweh.
Where is he at? A young man, where is he at doing all this, tall talking at?
This is in Rome.
He in Rome. And in 10:1 in Rome.
In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse number 1, reads, brethren, my mind's desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved.
He called them what? Brethren. He called them brethren. He didn't hear the man saying. He's talking to the scattered Israelites in the brain that was at Rome. Before Claudius Caesar in the 18th chapter told me, y'all get up out of here. See? So he over there trying to wake up that's in the shadow of death. And mothers let you know that Shepherd, that death is, that's called a dead Israelite in 3 verse 4 of Baruch. Saying y'all got to seek him 428 of Baruch 10 times more. That's what he's telling them. Then he said, to what? Then what he said in verse 17, out of verse 21? Then he said, remember, he's talking to the one that's in Rome, that is bloodline Israelite, to tell him, wake up, wake up, wake up. Come back to this covenant. And look what he said to them in verse 17, 21.
The book of Romans, chapter 10, 17 down to 21, verse 17 reads, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yet truly, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Verse 19, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Verse 20, but Isaiah the seer is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Verse 21, but to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
What kind of people are we? What kind of people are we?
A gainsaying people.
A disobedient.
Disobedient and gainsaying people.
Disobedient and gainsaying. That's what we are today. We are disobedient gainsaying people. You can show your brother this Bible all you want. But he's still going to be disobedient again, saying he's going to tell you, well, you know, you might get cut off from the family behind this. Listen, you are a disobedient brother, and you are a gainsaying person. Listen, the Bible going to stand, oh, disobedient brother. Huh? You disobedient. You don't want to, matter of fact, you don't want to read nothing out the Bible. You won't tell about what some cardinal on said. Well, what about what the Bible said? Hmm? Now, in 11, young man, can you read me 11, verse number 26 of the same book? Now, he's still in Rome, right? And he's still in Rome, yes. What he says in 11:26?
In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 26. Verse 26 reads, and so all Israel should be saved. It is written, there shall come out of Yada Judah the deliverer, and shall turn away unyakwaliness from Israel.
Hey, that's and you hear the deliverance in that? You hear the deliverance? He tell you what bloodline he'll come out of Judah. You hear him right now, the sixth anointed count. You hear your deliverer. Is you going to believe the Bible, or are you still going to go with the game saying? Your deliverance will come out of the tribe of Judah, the bloodline tribe. The one that's Mother Eve, and 14 verse 1 and 2, Jeremiah, and they got an appearance on the one that's going to come out to help you.
They're coming out of Judah. The same thing that Mary come out, that you can read in the first and the second chapter of Luke. Mary was from the tribe of Judah. Huh? So the Guadalupes and the Mary is interchangeable. But the Bible Mary come by the tribe of Judah. You can read that in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And Judah got appearance on them. And you tell me, when you go to the Catholic Church or the Latter-day Saints Church, do you see Mary or Guadalupe looking like the Bible Judah in 14 verse 1 and 2? Hey, Mother E, what does it say in 14 verse 1 and 2?
The book of Jeremiah chapter 14 verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1, the word of the Yahweh that come to Jeremiah concerning the death.
Yeah, man.
Verse 2, Judah moans and the gates that are languid. They are black unto the ground. And the cry of Israel and the cry of Yahweh Judah is gone up.
What color, hey, Mother E, what color is the tribe of Judah, according to verse 2?
Okay.
Blacker to the ground.
Excellent. Black unto the ground. Mary come out of Judah. Now, look at WCC say now. I got to get a second witness on that. All right, then we're going to bring Moses in, because Moses said, listen, sister, now, you know, you don't hold that microphone down long enough. He said, I got to say something behind that. So, Mother D of Israel, let's find out what tribe did Mary come out of. See, now, you watching Mary, Guadalupe, and all that stuff, right? Let's find out what tribe Mary, we're going to find out where Mary come from. Now, what color Judah again? Anybody can tell me again, what color Judah is?
Black unto the ground.
Okay. Now we're going to find out about Mary. We're going to the first chapter, Mother. And we're going to find out about Mary. And by going to the first chapter, and then we're going to bring Mother Z in. And let's see. Let's find out about Mary. What are we going to find out about Mary? We're going to the first chapter. And we're going to look right down and see where Mary, where she come from. Let's look at verse number 127 and get a name on Taylor first. 127 and 39 for time's sake. Luke 127, and we look right down at verse 39.
He's on Taylor.
Yeah, Luke 127 said what?
Luke chapter 1, verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the family of David. And the virgin's name was Mary.
So her name is Mary, right? All right, good.
Mary.
Let's get to verse 38 and 39 and find out about Mary.
Luke chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of Yahweh, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her, 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah.
The city of who? She was in the city of Judah. Why'd she go to Judah? Everybody go where their father's name is. So she went back to the land that her father is. Everybody, every tribe had to be in their own piece of portion. So the reason she going to Judah because she Judah. The reason Naphtali went to Naphtali because he was Naphtali. Zebulon went to Zebulon because he was Zebulon. You call your name after your father's name. So she went to her own country, which is Judah. What color is Jude again?
Black unto the ground.
So how you got statues of Mary, even in Guadalupe, that's another name for Mary, but you got them pale pink, pale white. Why so? Why are you doing it? Why you got both of them, and both of them is from the tribe of Judah. Yahuwah's son from the tribe of Judah. Mary from the tribe of Judah. Joseph from the tribe of Judah. And they black to the ground. But all the statues you got, though they wrong, okay, in chapter 19 and 26, chapter Luke, don't make no statues, none of that stuff. But you won't even do it wrong right. You won't even do it wrong right. The statue's supposed to be, if you going to have a statue, but you're supposed to have none anyway, they're supposed to be black to the ground. Matter of fact, this is what you do. You go to the next, go to Walmart store. Next time you're there. And say, can you give me a pound of human soil? Human soil. He said, you want human soil? Yeah. And you're going to find out that Walmart's human soil is the blackest, richest soil it is. Human. Didn't man come from the dust of the ground? Soil. All you're asking Walmart, give me 5 pounds of human soil. And you look at that soil is so black and rich and humid. God, oh, but this is what Adam was made from. Yes. Human soil. Get on your computer and put in Walmart. Do you have any human soil? And can you show me the picture of it? And that picture ain't going to look nowhere look like Caesar Borgia or Mary and the little baby, the pink baby, the pinkest reddest baby, pale red baby. It's going to be human soil. So next time you go on your computer, put in human soil at Walmart and show me the color of it. All right. So the best part of the broadcast is bring on Mother Z. Now, Mother Z said, let's see her. You don't hold that microphone down long enough. It's my turn to holler on the microphone. Hey, Mother Z, tribe of Yahuwah Judah. Yahuwah beat you, see you right.
I ain't coming home.
She'll double up tomorrow? Okay, good. I'll double up tomorrow. All right, good enough. So, Mother D.F. Israel, now we back to Romans chapter 7 through 13. Now we're
Romans 9.
Yeah. 7 through 13, and give me a closing statement. We'll start closing it out now. And we'll get memo. Okay. Tomorrow broadcast at 7:30. All six locations is open. Well, get in where you fit in at. Be by some Yahuwah. That's the only way you get your blessing to help others. You got to step out. You got to step out, bump show, and the six anointed council, bosses of the two is like. Remember, class start on the network at what time? 7:30. But class start in all locations when the sun sets. But when the come on the network tomorrow at 7:30. Got it. Good. So, Mother, let's read about Romans chapter 7, make it 9, verse 7 to 13, and close and say it, Mother. What did it say?
Okay. Romans chapter 9, verse 7 through 13, verse 7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall he be called. Verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of Yahuwah, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Verse 11.
for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. That's the purpose of Yahweh, according to the election, might stand, not of works, but of him that called. Verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Verse 13. As it is written, Israel have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
You mean the Bible said, the Bible tells us that? So has all this, you in the word, one is the vicar, Roman Catholic Church is the vicar, they are the vicar, they replace me. The Latter-day Saints, President Russell, he'll knock off the Pope. How is y'all getting all this information from him and y'all are descendants of Esau? And he says, what did he say again in verse 13? Well, no, wait, what you saying, WCC? Well, we're going to nuke the young lion for that. See what you did here? We're going to cut him off for the night. Well, your radio station, you cut off who you want to cut off. But young lion, I understand that you knew you were going to do something anyway. So young lion will catch you tomorrow, eyeball to eyeball class, top part of Saturday. Now, read that verse again, verse 13.
Romans chapter 9, verse 13. As it is written, Israel have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Now, mother, is that plain?
That's plain.
Not only that, Paul said, he's not telling you this. He said, it's written. And we just got through reading the Malachi where it's written at. So he over in Rome is telling to the children of Israel that according to election, Yahweh saying he loved him some Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the hand of the Almighty that put this together. He warned on this. They was not yet born, but his purpose is going to stand. So you remember, you always, when you're watching the Western movies, you always got to have the cowboy and the Indian. You always got to have, you always got to have the balance. So this is Yahweh's creation. He knew you were going to go mess up. So he created a man to whoop you back to him. That's Esau the 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
So they were created to whoop you. But once you wake up, the whooping going to stop. That's when you start coming back to the covenant. Your whooping is over with. Matter of fact, read that, mother. Give me Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12. And the closing. You know, you better hold on. Better hold on a little bit, because they'll shut the young line microphone off for the night. Give me Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12. Did you see what he's saying, mother? He's saying, Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12, he makes profound statements. The seer, he told the seer Nahum, he said, hey, Nahum, are you the man of the hour right now? He said, yeah. Well, then you put down what I tell you to put down. What he got written in 1, 9 and verse 12?
The book of Nahum chapter.
You say Nahum chapter 1, verses 9 to 12 or verse 9. Huh?
9 and 12. Yeah, 9 and 12.
9 and 12. Verse 9. What do you imagine against Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not raise up the second time. Verse 12. Thus says Yahweh, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more.
Yeah. So he's telling you, he said, listen, I'm
I'm the one done this to you. I created people to whoop you. The sins of Egypt, that's why they do the thing they do to you. You just can't figure out why are you so mean on me? You don't understand the creation. I created them to whoop you. To beat you on any business deal they can beat you on, they is created to just whoop you. They might, help me out, mother. Hey, mother, give me mother E. Give me 55:29 verse 23 of Psalms. See, you know, you got to understand the Bible. Your problem is you don't want to believe it. That's why I tell you the left side of the Bible is done away with. All you need is Romans or Corinthians, but you read that wrong. But you want to read what the messenger spirit told David? 55:29 verse 23, Mother E. What did it say we can read?
The book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20 to 23. Okay. Psalms, chapter 55. Yeah. Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20 to 23. He has put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. Verse 21, the word of his mouth was smoother than butter, but war was in his mind. His words were soft than oil, yet were they drawn forth. 22, cast a burden upon the Yahweh, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Verse 23. But thou, O Yahweh, shall bring them down unto the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee.
You see? Yep. And what do Isaiah 54:17 say, Mother? Hey, Mother E. Verse 17 say.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 54.
Hey, Mother of Israel, have me Sarah 12:10-18 waiting on me. 10-18, Mother D up Israel. Okay. What is it we can read that, Mother?
Okay, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thus shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, said Yahweh.
He said, it's no weapon formed against you going to prosper once you come back and do the righteous children of Israel. So he said, hey, Mother, he's making the claim in 14, verse 9 of Numbers where he pulled that from. He said, listen, children of Israel, you know why you're in trouble today in the mind? Because you don't do nothing I tell you to do. Everything I tell you to do, you don't keep the Sabbath day. You don't wear no fringes. Do you know the woman would never have found out who Yahweh the Son was unless he had the fringes on? Because the blessing, the woman said in the book of Matthew, if I can touch his fringes, I can be healed. Do you know the healing's in the fringes? That's why we tell you about the fringes, because the blessing is in the fringes. He'll talk to you. He'll tell you, dash or not. He'll tell you, you got them fringes on. He'll tell you in a minute, dash or not. No, don't do that. That's how them fringes would talk to you. You know the day is a Sabbath day, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. But if you ain't got no fringes on, ain't nothing going to talk to you but Satan the devil. The fringes is the blessing. And the woman that had an issue of blood in the book of Matthew chapter 9, she said, if I just can touch his fringes, before she had on some days of dudes on or a three-piece best suit, she couldn't figure out nobody. But the fringes is the blessing. So she said, if I just can get over there and touch the hem of his garments and him, and any dictionary tell you that's fringes, I will be made whole. The blessing is in the fringes.
So that's why we tell you about the fringes. You cutting your own blessing down by not wearing your fringes. The woman could never been healed of the issue of blood in Matthew 9 unless she sees the king come with some fringes on. Oh, she said in her mind, if I just can touch them fringes, I'll be made whole. The blessing is in the fringes. That's what he tell you, children of Israel. He recognized you better when you're wearing fringes. What you reading?
I didn't get that.
What you read, Mo? You made it there yet, Mo? Wherever you made it to, I forgot, but where you at? I tell you what, wherever you made it to, hold it up and go to Proverbs chapter 3, 31 through 33 in the closing statement, Mo. We'll stop right there, Mo, and get a closing statement. We'll catch you tomorrow at 7:30, eyeball to eyeball. Let's go to Proverbs 3, 31 to 33, Mo. Mother E. Israel sees her on a closing statement. What does it say? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31, 32, and 33, and a closing statement. Come on.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. Let me get back. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31, 32, and 33. Verse 31 reads, "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is abomination to the outlaw, but his secret with the righteous." 32. "The curse of the outlaw is in the house of the wicked, but the blessing the inhabitants of the just." So this, that's it. Okay. So thank and praising Yahweh for the class, and thank and praising Yahweh for being in the class, and just thanking and praising Yahweh for each and every one that's in the class. And I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to start at 45 and go to 50. Verse 45, "And blessed is she that be, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Yahweh." 46, "And Mary said, my soul do magnify the Yahweh." 47, "And my spirit has rejoiced in Yahweh my Savior." 48, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." 49, "For he that is mighty have done to me great things, and holy is his name." Verse 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks, mother. So you see, they be praying to Mary in Guadalupe, but Mary says, my salvation is the Son and the Father that's in heaven. So she knows she needs a Savior. See how them turn that stuff upside down? They got everything upside down. Hey, Mother D of Israel, what it says in reading Sirach chapter 12, 10 through 18, the closing statement, come out. Take your time there. Tomorrow at 7:30, back on the airways.
Sirach chapter 12, verses 10 to 18, verse 10 reads, "Never trust thy enemy, for like as iron rust, so is his wickedness." Verse 11, "Though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him, and thou shalt be unto him as if thou had wiped a looking glass, and thou shalt know
that his rust has not been altogether wiped away. Verse 12, set him not by you, lest when he has overthrown you, he standeth up in your place. Neither let him sit at your right hand, lest he seek to take your seat. And thou at the last, remember my words, and be pricked therewith. 13. Who will pity a charmer that is bitten with a serpent, or any such as come nigh wild beast? 14. So one that goeth to a sinner and is defiled with him in his sin, who will pity? 15. For a while he will abide with you, but if thou begin to fall, he will not tarry. 16. An enemy speaketh sweetly with his lips, but in his mind he imagines how to you into a pit. He will weep with his eyes, but if he find opportunity, he will not be satisfied with blood. 17. If adversity come upon you, thou shalt find him there first. And though he pretends to help you, yet shall he undermine you. Verse 18. He will shake his head and clap his hand and whisper much and change his countenance.
Hey, Mother, read Malachi 4:4. Who are you talking about? Read one verse in the closing segment, Malachi 4:4. Who are you talking about to keep an eye on? Malachi 4:4.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Mm-hmm. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes and judgments.